This is Tommy Hooker, and you found Pure Country, KEQX 89.7, Stephenville, Hamilton, and Carlton.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Friends, we want to welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this afternoon. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course I have with me this afternoon Brother David Harris, and we want to begin by thanking you for being a part and participating in our program. I want to pause just a moment, and I know David might have something to say along this line. We didn't talk about it before we came on the air, but I just want to pause and thank all of those that are in our military right now for everything that they're doing in defending our country. And we want you to know that we love and appreciate everything that you're doing in that regard. And I know David does this, and I do it as well. We remember you every day in our prayers, and we'll continue to do that. And we love and appreciate you for the work that you're doing. David, do you want to say something
real quick? All I've got to say to that is amen.
Amen. Well, friends, we again want to welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this evening. As Chris mentioned a moment ago, this is a live call-in talk show, and so I'm going to give you the number right now. I hope you have a pen and piece of paper so that you can jot it down so that you'll have it throughout the program. But the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's area code 254-445-2473. We also have email. If you have a question or comment that you would like to email us, you can send it to keqx@rocketmail.com. That's keqx@rocketmail.com, and we'll be able to listen to or take that off of the internet as well. If you were with us last week, David and I began a discussion about the Holy Spirit of God, and we're going to continue that discussion, and it's going to be a lengthy study, friends, so I want to encourage you to follow along in this study. We want to encourage you to let your friends and neighbors know about the discussion. We feel like that there are things that need to be addressed concerning the Holy Spirit. And, you know, some have even said, well, why do you want to study the Holy Spirit? Well, I don't know about you, friends, but I want to know all that I can know about God. I want to know all that I can know about God's Son, Jesus Christ, and I want to know everything that I can know about the Holy Spirit of God. And there are various reasons why we would take and study something like this. And if you were with us last week, we began by looking at some of the misconceptions that exist about the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of misunderstanding in religion today. And perhaps, David, there's no subject that is more misunderstood than that of the Holy Spirit. The fact that He is real, He is a person, He has a mission, He influences people in conversion and sanctification. There's questions about, does the Holy Spirit operate directly today, or does the Holy Spirit operate through a medium called the Word of God? Does the Holy Spirit still give modern day revelation? Is Holy Spirit baptism something that is still current for our lives today? All of these topics, David, and many, many more are misunderstood. And so we want to begin by pointing out that everything that we can know about the Holy Spirit must come from the Bible.
Amen.
You know, friends, we all have thoughts and so forth, but if we're going to talk about a Bible subject, we better have the Bible to back up every word that we say. David, last week we talked about the misconception about the Spirit being a spirit, and I know that may sound a little bit funny, but there are those who do not believe that the Holy Spirit is a spirit at all. But the Bible specifically says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2 that the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the water. This was a question that I had asked me, and just to let everybody know, David and I talked about it, and this was concerning the Godhead. We're going to spend, Lord willing, next week in our radio program, looking at the Godhead. So if you've got a question about that, hopefully you can stay tuned next week and listen as we begin that discussion about the Godhead. And by the way, if you go to harrisonclark.org on the internet, these programs are recorded and archived on harrisonclark.org, and so you can listen to past programs. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible talks about God the Father. The Bible talks about God the Son, who is Jesus Christ, and the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit of God. And so there are three persons in the Godhead, and that leads us to the next misconception we discussed, and that was about the Holy Spirit being a person. There are those who claim the Holy Spirit is not a person, and we read from a Mormon document last week called The Key to Science of Theology, and they say that the Holy Spirit is a divine fluid. By the way, this is on The Key to Science of Theology, page number 29. They say the Holy Spirit is a divine fluid composed of material atoms or particles, or in other words, an impersonal energy or cosmic force through which God acts. The Holy Spirit, they say, is in a class with magnetism or electricity. David, those words are blasphemous.
Right, absolutely.
They are blasphemous. God, the Holy Spirit, is just as much a person as God the Father or God the Son. And, you know, some have the idea that the Holy Spirit is some kind of liquid, that he can be poured out on individuals and so on and so forth. David, we talked about those misconceptions last week. And then at the end of our program, we talked about another misconception, and that is how the Holy Spirit influences man. And we pointed out last week that there are misguided preachers who assure their audiences that the Holy Spirit is speaking to them directly and that what they say is straight from Him. But David, they contradict one another. They contradict the Bible. They cannot be truthful in making those claims. They cannot.
Well, you're absolutely right, Kerry. And I'd like to point out that, you know, you will read in our New Testaments, and we're going to read that in just a moment. And if you have your Bibles open, or handy, would you please open them to John chapter 14, verse 26. Where people get real confused about this is that Jesus guaranteed and promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit would speak with them, and he would guide them into all the truth. He would give them the words to speak. Now, this is very important in the first century because they didn't have this written word as we
did. That's
right. Now, we have the same access today that that these apostles had, that the Holy Spirit gave them, but he gave it to them verbally. We're going to get it. We're going to get it in written form, and we've got to study it.
That's right.
But in the first century, here's the promise that Jesus made the apostles, John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, that's very important, Kerry, because they've got to be able to teach this without making error.
That's right.
And this is going to give them the proper tools to do that with. Then in chapter 16, he continues the discourse. In verse 13, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you, that is the apostles, things to come. he shall glorify me, for he, and he's speaking as he is a person.
That's right.
He says, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So it's very plain here that Jesus promises the apostles that they're going to receive this truth, the pure, unadulterated, unmixed truth of God. They're going to receive it through the Holy Spirit. This is in the first century. Now, we have covered on several different programs, we have covered the cessation of miracles.
That's right.
as we are given it in the Bibles. Now, this is a miraculous thing that is taking place with these apostles. And if we have time, we're going to go through how just exactly how it happened in Acts chapter 2. If we can, we'll go through that, and we talked about that earlier. But right now we're talking about the misconceptions of how he influences man. Now, he does not influence man like that today.
That's right.
Today, the Holy Spirit operates through the Word, and we have a lot of charlatan preachers out there that would like to hoodwink their audiences into believing that God is speaking directly to them through the Holy Spirit and giving them the words that he wants them to speak unto these people. And friends, that just cannot be so. And this is a Calvinistic doctrine that goes way back to Calvin and probably even before then. Calvin is the one that wrote it down. But when they say that the Holy Spirit can operate through them and give them words to say, and I've even heard this used too, Kerry, of the Holy Spirit nudged me.
Yes.
He nudged me and he shoved me over in a direction that I wouldn't even have thought of if the Holy Spirit hadn't been speaking to me. And we get all kinds of confusion out of this, and we have the confusion that exists in religion today more so over the Holy Spirit than any other thing that
That's
we can
right.
think about in religion. And most of all is because what they are taking will not come out of this book.
And David, to me, this idea that we have, and I say we, I'm not talking about David and I, but talking about what exists out in the world, that the Holy Spirit, you know, David, is it any wonder with this being preached and this being taught all over the globe and all across the United States of America that the Holy Spirit is going to be in you, he's going to be talking to you and guiding you? It leads to the fact that we become very lazy in our study of the Word of God.
No doubt.
Because if I don't need to study the Bible, the Holy Spirit's going to tell me what to say, then there's no need for me to study the Bible. And friends, that's why there is such an ignorance today about what the Bible actually says.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think, well, the Holy Spirit's going to tell me what to say. I don't have to get my book out and read it. And that is false.
Well, you know, the same truth that was promised those apostles, that the Holy Spirit would guide them into it. We have access to that very same truth today, and yet people won't pick up the book and find out what the truth is.
Yes.
And they're waiting, and the confusion also comes, Kerry, because you've got one preacher over here saying that God told him to do something here.
Yes.
And we got another preacher on the other side of town saying God told him to do something, and
yes,
it's totally opposite.
Totally different.
Totally opposite, totally different from what that other preacher said, and now we got mass confusion.
That's right.
There's only one way to get it right, and that's go to the book.
That's right. You know, David, one preacher I heard say this many, many years ago, he said what the apostles got by inspiration, we get by perspiration.
Right.
And Paul alludes to this. Listen to what he writes in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 3. Listen to this, friends, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul tells us we can have the exact same knowledge that he had
mm-hmm.
about this mystery, the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we would just read what the apostles have written and recorded for us, then, friends, we can know what they knew.
Right.
And that's a wonderful blessing. If you want to jump in on this discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at KEQX at rocketmail.com. And David, as we're talking about this idea of Calvinism, there are many in the denominational world who will contend that the Holy Spirit, and we've already said this, is operating on them in some direct and mysterious way. And there was a famous debater years ago of the Baptist religion named Ben Bogard. And he said this in a debate: "The Bible teaches that in conviction and conversion, the Holy Spirit exercises a power or influence in addition to the written or spoken word." And David, that is false.
That can't be proven with the written word.
No.
It just flat can't be proven. And Kerry, the deeper the hold of this kind of error has on man, the further people get away from the truth, and the less reliance they have on the Word of God. I mean, after all, if the Holy Spirit is going to guide them into all truth, why in the world even work at it to try to discern the truth that is being written here through the Word? Why even read the book?
Well, David, and if that is true, if the Holy Spirit is operating, as Mr. Bogard said, in conviction and conversion outside the Word of God, then why don't we hear about millions of people in China who have never opened their Bible becoming Christians? If the Holy Spirit is operating outside the Word of God, why is He not operating on those folks? Or why is He not operating on the billions of people in India and Africa and around the globe? Why aren't we hearing about these mass explosions of conversion if the Holy Spirit's out there operating outside the Word of God?
The fact is, He can't do it.
That's right.
Well, it's not that He can't do it. It's not God's will that He does it that
way.
How about that?
That's right. And He told us what He was going to do, and it's up to us to understand what He did. And so what we're saying, friends, if the Holy Spirit is working outside the Bible, then why in the world would God take the time to write the Bible?
Really?
Why would He spend nearly 1,600 years, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in detail, but why would He spend all that time and all that effort in writing down a book that we don't need in the first place? And the deeper this error grows upon mankind, folks, the less we will respect the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We will not respect the Bible if we have the thought that the Holy Spirit is operating on us outside the Word of God. And David, that goes back to what we said a moment ago. Many people don't respect the Bible anymore.
Absolutely.
Even in religious circles,
mm-hmm.
people are not respectful about the Bible and what the Bible says.
No, they resort to feelings.
Yes.
In spite of what God has said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3.
Yes.
He says, according to His divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. So everything we ever wanted to know about life, everything that we've ever wanted to know about godliness is revealed in this Word. But we've got to work at it. We've got to dig it out of there. And so for someone to say that God has revealed to him something that is not in this book.
Yes.
He's calling God a liar.
That's right.
Because God says, I've given it all there. It's all sufficient. And for someone to say that God is revealing them truth, he's making a mockery out of the all sufficiency of the Bible.
That's exactly right. And you know, David, in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 22 and 23, Peter said, "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth."
Mm-hmm.
So we obey the truth, and he goes on to describe that word. He says, "We have not been begotten not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the Word of God."
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Friends, we're up against a break. I know that sounds unbelievable, but 20 minutes have already gone by, and so we're going to take a break for just a few moments. But we want to remind you, the number to call is 254-445-2473, 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
I come to the garden alone.
The
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. Presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with Kerry Clark, and We want you to call in and give us your comments or ask us your questions. We're dealing with this very interesting and controversial subject today, the Holy Spirit and the misconceptions concerning the Holy Spirit. The telephone number to call is 254-445-2473. 254-445-2473. Or you can email us at KEQX@rocketmail.com. Now, we have been going through the misconceptions about how the Holy Spirit influences man today. There have been theologies out there for centuries and centuries that contend for the direct operation upon of the Holy Spirit upon the human heart. And what that means is, in plain old English language, is that God is speaking to me through the Holy Spirit, and here's what He's telling me to tell you.
Yeah.
That is the direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon the human heart. Now, what happens with it when you use this is we have a lot of confusion. God has told us that He has revealed the all-sufficiency of the Word. It's in your Bible. It has been preserved for us today. And yet we have men and women out there teaching and preaching that God is speaking to them and telling them something that is not in this book, revealing a new truth, if you will. And it keeps people more confused than you could ever imagine.
That's right.
Kerry, how could you ever be sure
what the truth was. If old preacher A over here is telling you one thing and preacher B over here is telling you something else that God has revealed unto him, how could you ever be sure if you don't have the standard? And the standard is the Word.
That's right. You couldn't be sure.
There's no way, absolutely no way that you can be sure. And so there's contradiction all over the place, and it goes against any rational teaching from an intelligent, all-knowing being as is the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit's not going to do something like that.
That's right.
And he even assures us that he's not going to do something like that in the Word of God.
That's right. You know, in Daniel, how about 2 Timothy chapter 3? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to what the Bible says, beginning in verse number 15. And David, these words are simply amazing to me. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Now, David, it says that as a babe, as a young child, Timothy knew the scriptures that were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now listen to verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, listen to this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. David, is that, if that is not telling us that the Bible is sufficient for what God wants it to do completely, then I don't know what it's saying.
Well, it can't be saying anything else but that. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It means that it is God-breathed.
That's right.
Given by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
God-breathed. And so we have the Word of God given by the Holy Spirit of God, and it's profitable for everything that you can imagine.
That's
for,
right.
For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in that which is right according to God, that the man of God, if he'll work at it,
that's
if he'll
right.
study his book, may be perfect or complete and furnished with everything
that's
unto
right.
every good work. So every good work that we do through the Word is furnished for us here.
That's right.
By God.
That's right.
We don't have to have the Holy Spirit speaking to us today. It's every bit of it is revealed to us.
Yes. And David, the fact of the matter is, and we'll go into this as we get into it, when I do what the Bible says, I'm doing what the Holy Spirit says because the Holy Spirit revealed this word to the apostles.
Absolutely.
And so there is a sense in which I'm led by the Spirit. But that's through the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if David, if I were to say to you that I went out into the woods and I chopped down a tree, I don't think you would have an image in your mind that I went out there with my hands as a lethal weapon and chopped down a tree.
Mm-hmm.
You would imagine me going into the woods with an axe and chopping down a tree. And friends, that's the exact way that the Holy Spirit works. He's not working on man directly. He's using a medium, and that medium is the Word of God. Just like I don't directly hit the tree when I chop down a tree, but I use the axe. And so the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit works on us, but it's through a medium, and that medium is the Word of God. You know, David, not only that, there are misconceptions about the Holy Spirit, what he did in the past, and what he's doing right now. And there are a lot of people out there that say that if we say the Holy Spirit is not operating directly upon the human heart, that we are in some way limiting God. And they will go on to say, well, if the Holy Spirit has done it in the past, or if God has done it in the past, he can do it now. And they assume that what God did back then, he will always do. But David, that's simply not the case.
Not at all. And all through the Bible, we find things that he's done once that there is no need for him to do again.
That's right.
And we can just go right down the list here, starting at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, which we read last week. And we're told that he once moved over the darkened waters during that creation week. But he does not do that right now currently. There is no need for him to do that. That's already attended to.
That's right.
And we also find that for 16 centuries, and you mentioned this just a moment ago, he inspired some 40 different men to write the sacred scriptures. And there are no contradictions in that, by the way. And
yes,
over 16 centuries, there's still no contradiction, but he is not currently doing that today. He is not inspiring some man to write more of the Bible because we have the complete revelation here in our hand. And once he came upon the apostles,
yes,
in Acts chapter 2, and once he came upon a Gentile house in Acts chapter 10, and there is no need in a baptismal measure, there is no need for that to be done again. He confirmed the revealed word with miracles and with signs and wonders during the first century by the Holy Spirit, baptized recipients, and those upon whom the apostles' hands were imposed, and he does not currently do that today.
That's right, David. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God has been confirmed and revealed. In Hebrews chapter 2, listen to what he writes beginning in verse number 1. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the... And by the way, the word therefore is going back to what he said in the first chapter. But he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Listen to this, friends. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed. That's past tense. Was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God bearing witness with them, both with signs and wonders and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. David, once something has been confirmed, it doesn't have to be confirmed over and over again.
No.
Do you have to go down on the deed of your property, David, and every year reconfirm that you've got that deed to the land that you...
Not at all.
Because it's already been confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, it's had the seal from the state of Texas stamped on it. It has been confirmed and put into the courthouse, the county courthouse, and you can go down there and look at it. But friends, I don't have to reconfirm it every year once that has been confirmed and sealed.
Right, right.
And when God gave us his word, he sealed it and confirmed it. Friends, we don't need to have that reconfirmed generation after generation after generation.
No, and that leads us to our next point, the misconception. And here is where kind of the rubber meets the road here, the misconception about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
There are a lot of people out there that contend for a literal, actual, personal and direct indwelling of the Spirit within the Christian. And many contend this, and they will adamantly argue that he does nothing without the Word, but he's indwelling in us. Now, why is it, Kerry, and we've touched on this Godhead two or three times now,
yeah.
And why is it that there are three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Why is it that only God the Holy Spirit is the one that they want indwelling in them? Why not God the Father? Why not God the Son? Why is he not indwelling in them? One is just as much deity as the other.
That's
one
exactly
is just
right.
as much a person as the other. Why in the world? Why? And I'll tell you why. Because of things like what you read just a moment ago from that Mormon scientific doctrine that they
yeah.
have there, where they say that the Holy Spirit is absolutely impersonal. And yet they would not say that about God, nor would they say that about Jesus the Christ. But we have ample evidence from the Word of God that he is a person just exactly like God is, just exactly like Jesus the Christ is, so is the Holy Spirit. So now, how in the world are we going to have a literal, actual, personal, direct indwelling of the Spirit within the Christian, and he's doing nothing with it? And what is the purpose if if he cannot do anything in there, what's the purpose of it?
And, you know, David, the Bible tells us that God, the Father, dwells in us.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 15, the Bible says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. Now watch this, David, and he in God. I dwell in God.
Right.
Does that mean literally, personally, actually, I'm indwelling God?
No.
Who can believe that? I don't know of anybody that would argue that I am. Isn't that what it said?
Absolutely.
So exactly. There must be a way to understand this in which it does not contradict other passage of Scripture. And David, that is that God dwells in me through his word.
Right. And also, we find in the Scriptures that Christ dwells in us as well. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says there that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Now, I want to get back up there to verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Now, he's talking about our spiritual heart, of course. That would be our mind.
That's right.
That Christ dwells in our heart, and he does so by faith. We look at that, break it down, we find out what is faith. How do we get our faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then how does Christ dwell in my heart? He doesn't dwell in my heart by bits and pieces of him. He dwells in my heart through the word, through faith.
That's
and
right.
So we have God dwelling in our heart. We have Christ dwelling in our heart. And yet no one is going to argue for a literal, personal, direct indwelling of Jesus the Christ in my heart. It's just not going to happen.
Well, and David, if somebody believes that, we certainly want you to join us in our discussion. And the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But David, the point, I believe, has been well established that there is a sense in which God dwells in us,
mm-hmm.
and that is through faith or through hearing his word. David, as long as I allow God's word to direct me, then I'm being led of God, I'm being led of his spirit, and I'm being filled with his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But David, if I only study my Bible maybe 30 minutes a month, and friends, I'm not trying to be ugly when I say that. Let's say 30 minutes a week. I don't know that the average American actually studies their Bible 30 minutes a week, but let's say that they do. How much knowledge can we gain in 30 minutes a week?
Well, if I was trying to get through an algebra class and read my algebra book 30 minutes a week, I wouldn't make it.
Yeah.
I don't believe I can make it through a history class.
No.
I don't think I can make it through a PE class.
That's right.
If it is that you gain spiritual steadfastness and spiritual strength in the same way that you gain physical strength and physical steadfastness, 30 minutes a week in the gym is not going to get it.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to put out some effort. You're going to have to put out some time. You're going to have to put out some effort. You're going to have to put out some sweat. That is for the physical strength. The spiritual strength is not a whole lot different than that. We've got to get in there and got to work to build up our spiritual strength, or we'll be a bunch of weaklings in the faith.
Well, David, you know, we live in a society, and you and I were talking about it, that we live in a society where we don't want anything to take any effort on our part.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch television and they will tell you if you'll just take this pill once a day that you won't have to go to the gym and exercise. You won't have to diet. You just take this pill and you're going to lose all the fat in your body and you don't have to do anything but take this one little pill.
Well, just think about all the time that I've wasted.
And friends, we have that mentality in religion. We want a microwaved religion. We
mm-hmm.
want to be able to walk into the microwave, pop that popcorn in there, and 2 minutes later walk back to the chair and sit down and eat our popcorn, and we want the Bible to be exactly like that.
Right.
And, David, it's not going to happen.
No, it will
it's
not happen.
Absolutely not going to happen.
And so we see we have this literal, actual, personal indwelling. Oh, is it time for a break? Is that what you're telling me? It is time for a break. He showed me a picture of on the telephone, and I was looking at the picture and wasn't looking at the time. It's time for a break. We're going to catch you on the other side of the break. If you there you go. If you have a call or a question or a comment you would like to make, the number is 254-445-2473. Thank you very much.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Friends, welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course, Brother David Harris is with me this evening, and we're looking at misconceptions relative to the Holy Spirit. And we've looked at several misconceptions already. We've talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. We've talked about the Holy Spirit, how He influences mankind. We talked about some of the misconceptions about what the Holy Spirit did in the past and what He's doing right now. And we were talking about, before we came on the break, about the Holy Spirit and His indwelling. And if you want to join in on the discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. 254-445-2473. Now, before we go any further, Chris said that he was been here all day and he had two phone calls. the whole day. And he said if we got more than two calls, we were going to do better than he did all day long. So, folks, if you're listening, join in on this discussion. But many people today are contending that the Holy Spirit literally, actually, personally, and directly indwells their spirit. They will contend and very adamantly argue that the Holy Spirit does nothing without the Word while He's indwelling us. But others, they won't stop there, David.
Mm-mm.
They will contend just as vehemently that the Holy Spirit does things beyond the written Word of God. And there are people out there that are claiming that the Holy Spirit is directing them to say this or to say that. I remember hearing Brother Guyon Woods mention one time, he was in a gospel meeting, and I think it was over in Alabama, David, and he said that in order to get ready for a sermon that he preached quite often when he was on these meetings away from home, he would go to the local cemetery, and he'd walk through the local cemetery just to kind of get his mind in the right place. And he said he walked out of the cemetery, and this guy came running up to him. He saw him across the street, and he came running over. He said, "Friends, the Holy Spirit came, told me to come to you and testify to you what you need to be a Christian." And Brother Woods said, "Well, friends, the Holy Spirit knows I'm a Christian, so you must be listening to some other spirit." Here you've got this man claiming that the Holy Spirit told him to come, and here this man has been a preacher for years, mm-hmm. lived the Christian life for years, but the Holy Spirit was supposed to have told him to come over and talk. Now, David, I guess somebody took the bait because we have a caller on the line, and caller, we appreciate your call. If you don't mind, just give us your first name and then your question or your comment.
This is Paula, and this will be the first call. Kerry, talk about Acts 2:38. It says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, Paula, we appreciate the call, and we'll go ahead and talk about that. Friends, if you have your Bible, open in it to Acts chapter 2, and Paula talked about it. But it says in verse number 38 that Peter said unto them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. David, that has caused a lot of people to think
mm-hmm.
that in this particular text that Peter is telling them that they are going to receive as a gift the Holy Spirit. But David, there are actually a couple of ways that we can look at that particular thought. We can look at that as the Holy Spirit as a gift,
mm-hmm.
or we can see it as the gift that the Holy Spirit brings.
Right.
And, friends, I am of the persuasion that he is talking about the Holy Spirit not as a gift, but he is talking about the gift that the Holy Spirit gives us. And that gift that the Holy Spirit gives us, according to 1 John chapter 2, and by the way, it's the same gift that God gives us. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse number 15, the Bible says, and that's not the verse that I want to look at. The verse that I was thinking about, David, and right off the top of my head, it slipped my mind, but it is, the gift is eternal life.
The gift is eternal life. Boy, yes. You're putting me on the spot here.
Well, David, let me find that.
Okay,
right
now
quick.
While you're finding that, I want to address this and throw this possibility out here to you also, Paula. If you will read on, well, let's back it up here. In verse 38, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now, I want you to notice the object of the gift is the promise.
That's right.
The promise goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, where Abraham is told by God that through him and through his seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And of course, we know that through Abraham comes Jesus. We have the genealogy right there in Matthew chapter 1. And that promise right here, the gift, is that of eternal life. And that promise was made all the way back in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. It is reiterated in Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 and following. And now Carrie's got the passage.
I found the scripture.
All right.
It's verse 25, not 15. I was shooting from the hip. But let's begin in 1 John 2 and verse 24. It says, "Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." David, very clearly, the promise of God, and I like the way you did that. It's talking about the Holy Spirit bringing us a gift,
mm-hmm.
and that gift that the Holy Spirit gives us is eternal life, or as Peter said, the remission of our sins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paula, I hope that helped. I don't know if you're still on the line. Okay, but we hope that helps. But this idea that it is the Holy Spirit as a gift, I do not believe that that's what the Scripture is saying right there. And I think David did a great job in explaining that as well.
The and again, and we're going to come back to this Acts chapter 2 if time permits. I don't know whether time is going to permit or not.
We got
9 minutes. We will not be coming back to Acts chapter 2 today, but... But what we have, and that is a great question, because that question bothers lots of people, and they would like to believe that they have this miraculous gift now instantly once they have been obedient to the gospel plan of salvation, to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins in the authority or by the authority of Jesus Christ. And so when we look at this gift of the Holy Spirit, we've got to understand the object of the gift. It's the promise. And the promise here is what we have been talking about, the gift of eternal life. Now, we have another caller on the line. Caller, would you give us your name? And you are lucky caller number two.
Well, this is Jason again.
Hello, Jason.
Thinking about the people who claim that this gift indwells in them to do something outside
yes.
of what the Word has to say. You know, John tells us to test the Spirit.
Amen.
Believe not every spirit, but test the Spirit, whether they are from God. How do we test them? Well, that's by the Word.
That's mm-hmm. it.
So if the Spirit, and to a man, everyone I've ever encountered who says that the Holy Spirit talks to them, teaches something outside of what the Word says. So therefore, they don't pass the test.
That's it. Right.
It's not there. And they use the Spirit when they have that attitude, that belief, to lead them into all sorts of things. For instance, my dad several years ago worked with a lady who was in the market for a new car.
Hmm.
Well, she went down to the local Lincoln dealership, and she picked out, and mind you, Dad was a pharmacist and worked for the state of Texas, and this lady was just a clerk in the pharmacy. Know how much she made, know how much her husband made. He was a state employee also. And she couldn't afford that Lincoln to save her life, but the Holy Spirit told her to buy it. 3 months later, it was repossessed. He didn't tell her how to make the payment on it.
Well, Jason, you're exactly right, and we appreciate that call. We appreciate that. Friends, David and I want to make something perfectly clear. We are not denying that the Holy Spirit dwells in the Christian.
No.
The Bible tells us that God the Father dwells in us, and we've already read the passage from 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ dwells in us, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 17. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11. But friends, it is our contention that the Holy Spirit indwells us, just like God the Father, just like God the Son, and they all three dwell in us by faith or by our knowledge of the Word of God.
Well, Carrie, it is our contention is because that is what the Bible reveals to
Amen.
Us. There is no other revelation in this Bible that teaches us any other way. If you will look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, here we are told, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Now, here again, we're talking about the spiritual heart. Sanctify
That's right.
the Lord God in your heart. How do you do that?
Well, the only,
exactly. We've got to put the Lord God in our heart through the Word. There is no other way. We can't jump up there and grab a piece of Him.
That's right.
And stick it in our head. We don't want to go overboard here, but this man-made teaching concerning the Holy Spirit has gotten so much confusion going on here that it's just unbelievable. But if we'll get back to the book,
Yeah.
And our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. You get back to the book, and you will find that the book passes the test that Jason was talking about.
That's
Not
right.
man, but the book does.
That's right.
And Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17 is a great, great passage of Scripture. And I want to read that, if I may, Kerry. It says, for I am not ashamed. This is Paul the Apostle writing. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the Word of God.
Yes.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, if the Word of God is the power to save, then what man is telling us here is that this word that they're gathering out here that's not of God, it'll save you. One of them's got to be wrong.
That's right. That's right.
Both cannot be right.
Yes.
It's got to come from the Word of God. It goes on to say in verse 17, for therein, where?
In
the gospel. Is the righteousness of God, that which is right according to God, revealed from faith to faith, from our own, from the system of faith to our own personal faith. That's where that is revealed to us, and
yes.
it is through the Word.
Well, David, we want our listeners to know that we're going to spend a lot more time later on talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're just introducing the thought as some of the misconceptions about His indwelling. And David, another misconception out there is about how we should study the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And David, far too many people approach a study of the Holy Spirit in a subjective manner. In other words, they want to say, well, I feel this, I think this, or so-and-so told me this, Pastor Bob told
mm-hmm.
me this. Friends, we need to study the Holy Spirit in an objective manner. See, a subjective appeals to feelings. This is how I feel about it. And when a person appeals to human traditions or their feelings, David, they have completely eliminated the facts of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
They've eliminated the divine truth.
Well, you know, I talked to a woman one time, and she told me, and she was just as serious as she could be, and honestly believed that from the depths of her heart. She says, I believe God creates us with a spirit to know the difference between good and evil, between right and wrong, and then He creates and puts within us that spirit to do that which is right and that which is good. And I explained to her, we've got to be taught of God, and we've got to be taught about what is good. How in the world can you know what's good and what's evil if you don't know what God's Word has to
That's
say?
Right.
There's no right and there's no wrong without a law. You've got to have a law. You've got to have God's standard to tell you what's right and wrong. And by the way, in our Bibles, we are told that we may have our senses exercised to know good and evil. And
that's
we
right.
can only do that through a knowledge of the Word of God. That's the only way. God does not zap us and say, this is good, this is bad, don't do this, don't do that, and do this and do that. That just does not happen. What we get is the Word of God.
That's right.
And it only comes with study.
Well, David, and my question would be, if this lady's correct, that God creates us with the spirit to know the difference between good and bad, and then gives us a spirit to do good, why do people do bad?
No, you really? Why do they? Why,
if God
why
gave
they?
Us that spirit to make us do
mm-hmm.
good, then there would be no sin.
Right.
And we know that's simply not the case. So, friends, we want to go back to the point that we mentioned earlier, that everything that we know about the Holy Spirit must come from the Bible, the Word of God, or we don't know anything at all.
Absolutely. And so we're going to have to wrap it up now, Kerry. It's just about time to end the program, and I want to end by saying this. Please, folks, study your Bible. The only way that we can know anything about God, Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit is through the Word of God, and that's what we're here to do, is help figure out how this all comes together and how the mystery is put together. It is available and attainable. Truth is attainable. We're told that. And as we sign off tonight, I want to make sure that all of the military individuals, all the individuals that have been veterans, and those that are still fighting and serving in our country today through the military, we want to wish you a special day, and God bless you all.
Amen to that. And we'll hopefully see you next week.